This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, Pastor Elder.
We had company the whole afternoon, and then I did the barn work, and before I got up here, Brother Rooks called and said that circumstances with electricity or something prevent him from coming. So I'm using the old ways. When I was substituting school teacher, they'd call me around 7:45 in the morning, and school started about 8, and they said, "Mr. Robbins, we need you today," and so I would go in, and I never did any babysitting. And so I would, I had some help, and I would teach. So tonight, Mom, you know what it is? You say, "Well, I've been busy, I don't have time to make a meal, and here I got people that need to be fed, so I'll have to do something." Now, Brother, last Sunday, Warren said, "You pick hard subjects." Well, when you do an exposition of the Word of God, you can't say, "Well, I'm going to skip this." I know commentators do that. See, that's too hard. So some of us are not too smart, and we go right on in. And so tonight, I am in the subject of loving your enemies. Brother, we'll get this last hymn, the Lord willing, in the Sermon on the Mount. And if this isn't hard, I don't know what is hard. This is really hard. Love your enemies. Lord God, we certainly need some lesson. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we do need your help because we come from a background and a culture not to love enemies, but to get even with them and to put them away. And our Father, this passage tonight, we do need some help. And as, Lord, I can only open it up a little bit, we pray that we'll get enough here tonight that'll stimulate us to be like our Lord Jesus as he practiced, and that we might be more godlike in this generation, this wicked and evil generation. Help us, Father. Help us to understand. Give us ears to hear. Give a voice to speak, and that you'd be pleased with us. For we pray in the name above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm in Matthew chapter 5. And we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're just going right on verse by verse. And it's been a blessing to me. I hope you got something out of it so far. And having studied the Beatitudes and so forth, now we're in the subject of closing out. They would be referred to as antitheses. This is the last one, the sixth one. I want to see how you figure this one out. If you think you know something about the Bible, my dear friends, I just see how you handle this, if you will, please, in a practical sense, not just academically. How does this work for this, your neighbors at the work, your fellow Christians? Verse 43 of the fifth chapter of Matthew. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect or mature. Be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now we did spend a little time on that verse 38 and on, didn't we? Last time we met on that, last Sunday evening. He said, as he is speaking here to his disciples on the mount, and his disciples were standing around or sitting around as he spoke this sermon on the mount, and I'm sure the scribes and Pharisees were there and other people. And he says to them, verse 38, and I'll go over that quickly, ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. That's a difficult passage, too, in case you didn't know that's difficult. I mean, somebody whack you on the face. You're going to stand there and turn the other way? You know, I was thinking, I wanted to spend more time on that. I probably should work on this tonight and talk about loving your enemies later, but I don't think I will. But you say, well, I can understand that. And people can say, I've done that. Somebody give me a whack, and I turn me on the cheek. And you don't whack that way. So, see, you really arrived, haven't you? I'll tell you where you haven't arrived. If you learn how to do the Bible like that, but you haven't learned how that our Lord Jesus, the one who was whacked on the face, and for the cause of our redemption, it was an embarrassing thing. They scuffed him, they cuffed him in the face. And he practiced it. If you don't know him, what good is it to know this passage? He's the one that showed us that's what it means in love. And now he says, I want you to love enemies. No retaliation. Don't go to court. I've heard of Christians taking Christians to court. We don't obey these things. This is something you just intellectually get a 90 on a grade test, and I know what I'm talking about. No, and non-retaliation. I tell you, this culture, and you can talk to Christians whether you want to call themselves Bible Christians or even Calvinists or whatever you want to. Many of them really, I don't believe they understand it. We just want to knock people. We want to do this and do that. It's the old nature. Now, the Lord Jesus said, now, I want you to be like me. Non-retaliation. And they took his cloak. He took his clothes at the cross of Calvary. They cuffed him. They slapped him in the face. And not only that, they nailed him to the cross. And he prayed for them, asking that forgiveness be given to them. If you don't see the Lord Jesus in this passage, then you need to realize the Word of God is more than just an academic, cerebral thing. But oh, tonight, this verse 43, 44, it's interesting. If you have a translation in your hand there, other than the King James or the New King James Version, you're going to look at your Bible and you're going to say, hey, where's the preacher getting those words like, they're leaving out the words bless them, they're leaving out do good, and leaving out who spitefully use you, it's not in your translation. What? Those words are not in your translation if you don't have a King James Version or a New King James Version, for the most part. There are exceptions. I don't have all of them, but I'll tell you, they're not found in New International Version. They're not found in a Revised Standard Version. They're not found in American Standard Version. Those words are out. And I do need to spend a little time there because people say to you, you know why those words are out? Because the older manuscripts do not have them in. Namely, what they call the one that usually Roman Catholics use it. I'm not going to say much about them, but the Codex Vaticanus, that's where your Bible, if it's not a King James or a New King James. Say, well, that Bible you have in your hand, it's not as old as some of those of the Bible, New Translations. Is that right? Yeah. And because it's old, it's the best. And they think they have the truth. But if you study it out, and I think you need to get a hold of this, because some people are going to say, well, the New International Bible, you say, well, I don't want you using those King James versions for, and I'm not a King James man as such. I love it because that's the way I used to. I know all the arguments, but I want to tell you what had probably happened historically, if it's any interest to you. Why are those words not found in the newer translations? They're in your King James, but they're not in the newer translations. Why? And the answer is this, I believe. The answer is that the olders were used when back in the old, real old times, and not that really that old, but they used it. But they had so many of these, and they compiled them together. And after a while, the Textus Receptionis, or as we would say today, has to do with the received text, the Byzantine text, the traditional text. This is King James. Here's what I want to show you. This is a Bible that I used for years. Now don't laugh. It was in the pulpit here, and it just got used. You know, didn't you? Say, well, wonderful. Okay, but I want to say this to you. I don't use it anymore. Hasn't been used for quite a while. You say, well, then it's no good? No, but I want to tell you something. It has other versions in it, different columns with other versions, and it got to the place where I thought, you know, I just put it aside. Just put it aside. And I go back to my old King James Version because it's been used for years and it's done the work and it's the Word of God. It's God-breathed. Every word's God-breathed. And this is the book. Now listen, friends. They put away the old, store it in the cupboard somewhere. Yeah. Hide it away. Put it away. We don't use it anymore. What? Those old manuscripts. Well, that's good. So along that you're using what we have here, the Textus Receptus, the Codex the Byzantine, and he said, this is the one. Friends, let me tell you something. When you wear something out, you either get rid of it or you put it away. And it was not accepted. It's not accepted today as far as those who are scholars. Don't you despise the fact that you don't have a brand new translation of some sort and saying, oh man, that's easy to understand. You'll find that it doesn't really, many of those, they add to, like New International, it adds to the Word of God and it leave out. What are you saying that for? Well, in verse 44, there's three expressions there that's not found in some of the newer translations. That's why I want to explain it, but it's in ours, and those words are very important. But I said all that to say this to you. If I were to put up an emphasis or evaluate this passage 38 through the end of the chapter, I'm going to tell you honestly, in all my years of preaching, this passage is the hardest, like you said, brother. You said to me, you pick the hard passages. They are hard. If you think that you can just take the Word of God and just read it and that's it. It requires a lot of study. I thank the Lord for Brother Rick. He prayed for me Wednesday night. He said he prayed for the preacher for Sunday evening service. And I thought, Brother Rick, Brother Rook's supposed to be here, not me. Brother Rook is going to be in the pulpit tonight. And I thought, hey, that's interesting. Whether he had discernment to pray for me, but you did, brother. You prayed for me for tonight's service. Thank you. God works in strange ways. So I've studied. I don't come to you completely unstudied. I studied just a little bit, but I'll give you a few things concerning this passage. This, in verse 43 of the fifth chapter of Matthew, we look at that and it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Mine is in capital letters, but then hate thine enemy is not capitalized. That's interesting. The Lord Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. What did he quote? He said, you've heard that thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's taught in the Old Testament. But this business of hating, or hate thine enemy, you're going to have to do a lot of scrounging to find something like that. Well, where did that come from? You see those boys out there with their robes that are called rabbis, scribes, and Pharisees sitting around out there? Yeah. They're educated fellows. Yeah. And you know what they say? They interpret this, that you should love your neighbor, and they put there, and hate thine enemies, or hate thine enemy. The Lord said, that's what those boys teach. But I say to you, I get it. The Lord Jesus, God saying, I say unto you, verse 44, Matthew 5, love your enemies. That's the first thing. Bless them that curse you. That's the second thing. Do good to them that hate you. That's the third thing. And the fourth thing, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do I have somebody that would help an old dried up preacher? Thank you. Isn't that wonderful? You just jumped right up. Thank you. I do need it. I take some medicine I believe does cause my throat, my mouth to be dry. Sorry about that, but when you get old, you have some problems. And it's not that great. But where are we? We're in this section of the rabbis teaching and adding to the scripture that, well, sure, to love your neighbor, that's fine, but hate the enemy. God isn't saying that. God isn't saying that. And that's why you got to be very careful about preachers. Hey, thank you. I'll do you a favor someday. I did. I gave you my daughter. And she was my baby. Now listen. The Romans 13, verse 10 says this. Listen to this. The Bible, where Romans says this about it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's a great passage. What? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love thy neighbor, verse 43. And therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. All right, Lord, I guess we got a little bit of that, I understand. Are you saying that we have to be kind and helpful to all of our enemies? Now you're getting it. Wow. I don't know how that's going to, I don't know how we're going to do that, Lord, to be kind and helpful towards our enemies. How's that going to happen? How are we going to do that? Well, if you turn to Proverbs, and chapter 24, Proverbs, I want us to look at a passage in the Old Testament because we're in the New Testament, but some people say, well, they have to have the Old Testament too. So in Proverbs, chapter 24, and I want us to look at a couple verses there in Proverbs. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says in Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him that displease the Lord. He turn away his wrath, and he turn away his wrath from him. Now, friend, he did me harm, and he broke his leg. You say, he deserved it. Good for him. House burned down. Man, he did me wrong. Good for him. No. Yes, the natural heart is inclined that way. So-and-so got hurt. Car accident. Really? Yeah. How is he? Pretty bad shape. And your mind says, you know what? That old buzzard, he deserved it. The Word of God says, you be careful of that attitude. In Proverbs 24:17 says, don't you do that, because God knows about that attitude of ours. Don't rejoice, verse 17, when thy neighbor falleth. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Lest the Lord see it, and he sees. And it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Brethren, you talk about the wrath of God. Say, Lord Jesus, you're telling us something, but I got to tell you, I read in the Old Testament, Lord, that the Israelites, they were to kill those Canaanites. Now, how could that be consistent with the Word of God? Here we're talking about a passage that don't hate your enemy, but love them. And I read in the Old Testament, he wiped out Canaanites. God! Yeah, that's the answer. It wasn't a personal vendetta. It was a judicial ruling of God. And God is a God. And God said, there's such an abominable, wicked race of people, tribes. And he said, I want them wiped out. God can do that. You and I can't do that. We're not God. And if we get messing around thinking that we're God and can do these things, we're going to get in trouble. This is a fearful passage. Well, I want us to look at those four things before I close down here tonight. You may not get a full meal, but I hope you get enough to go home with it. Besides, there are some refreshments afterwards. Maybe you can get some refreshments. But I want to tell you that verse 44, Matthew 5. There are words there that you and I need to take a look at to help us to understand how we can love your enemies. Well, now, I just don't know. He's saying, we're to love in word and in deed and not just in emotional. Well, our emotions, and I thank God we have emotions, but if we get emotional over some things, you get in trouble. But verse 44 says, the Lord Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. First that, love them. Bless them that curse you. And do good to them that hate you. Yes, that's number three. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right, so what? Love, bless, do good, and pray. That's enough to talk about for a while, isn't it, that we are to do this? The word love here is the word agape, which is God's love. It's not an emotional thing. And that God loved us when we were yet sinners and Christ died for us. How he did all that. Wonderful. We're to have that same kind of a look. Because, listen, God, we're made in the image of God. You say, well, that old guy. But whoa, wait a minute now. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. He's made, and we're made in the image of God. We have intellect, emotion, and will. Yes, we do. But intellect, emotion, and will. Now, you just be careful. God is God. You're not God. And he said, I want you to do this. I want you to have a love towards them that I will work in their lives and save them from their sins. And you ought to say, I don't understand that. I don't know how I can do that. And yet he says, I want you to give a godlike love towards that individual. It may not be emotional. You may not be able to go up and say, boy, it's nice to see you, old pal, you old buzzard. You can't do that. And say, but I will tell you this. I know my God is able. I know he's sovereign. I know he can take dirty, rotten sinners and save them. And so I'm going to love him in the way I should. God's sacrificial love. I need to demonstrate that towards him. And that's what that word love is. You know, if you'll just go to verse 46 and 47, and I'll come back. But isn't this something that we can do? You say, well, I like certain people, and others I don't like. I said, all right, now you watch that attitude. The Lord speaking, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Huh? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? So he said, the world does that. You think that's a big deal? He's my friend and we just have a great time together. I said, that's fine. That's natural. But I'm asking you that you love your enemies. I know how you treat your pals and your friends. You know, they're my friends. Yes. But he said, I'm not talking that route. I'm telling you that the Pharisees and the scribes out there, they added the words, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Hate your enemy. And he said, no, they don't have that right. And you don't have a right either. If you think that you have a right to get even with people because they did you wrong, that's not the teaching of the Lord Jesus here. I'll get even with them. You wait and find out somewhere before I die. No, no, no. That's wrong. That's the culture you're living in. And all that bothers me to no end. I get irritated with myself. I get irritated with those of you, some of you, that you're just culturally minded. And you say, I was taught that in school, and that's the way we do it, period. You come to church, you hear radical, and this is radical, discipleship, and you say, man, I didn't ask for that kind of teaching. This is radical. But it's much easier to just go along with the current and with the way we taught in school, and that's the way it is. No, no, no. Culture. Culture is usually anti-God. For the most part, it is. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say, well, I was taught that. It's okay. And I want to just deviate here a little bit. If you guys think that sending children to public school is the best way to go, you're so far out of it, you don't even know what's going on. I have to pay taxes, school tax, and if you have property, you pay them. But if you have the idea, the philosophy, since I pay my school tax, that's where my kids are going to go, that's where my grandchildren are going to go, that's good enough. I did it, and they can do it. But it was back then when school was a little bit Christianized when we were back in school. What do you mean by that? Well, we had the Lord's Prayer. We said the Lord's Prayer, and they read some Bible in my school. They won't even allow anything like that. It's all humanism. It's anti-God. No Christ. And so some of you old gray heads, you better get it squared away. You're being culturized, and you don't see any difference in that. We're going to have to give an account. Not just preachers, but you too. You say, what are you going to do? Well, homeschool. That's about the best thing I know. Well, aren't there some Christian schools? Yeah, that's another story. But I think homeschooling is the best way. You do too, don't you? Rick, so do the people behind you. You said, well, did you homeschool your kids? Well, I was around here enough. I gave them plenty of education. But no, I had that silly idea. I pay my school taxes, and we got a school down here. It's supposed to be pretty good academically, and we send them down there. Did it affect your kids? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about your kids? Affect them? Oh, yeah. See why we need to be careful? We get too smart for ourselves. But you left off there in verse 44, it says to love them. And I said, yeah, we talked about that. And by the way, who's my neighbor? Well, it's Jim Smith. Or it's, you know, Dave. Mm-hmm. Who's your neighbor? Well, Mr. So-and-so. Really? That's good. Let's go to Luke 10. Find out who are our neighbors. You see, we just take so much that the scribes and Pharisees, they only used the Bible what they wanted. And I think we can be guilty of that too. I just take out what I want and I don't bother with the rest, you know. Just take out what I want. Verse 29 of Luke 10. But he, willing to justify himself, he said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Aha! Now we got a wise guy. Gonna trick the Lord up in answering a tough question. People like to trick you up with tough questions. How did Jesus answer to explain who a neighbor is? Well, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down to Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. You know the story, but hang on a minute. Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Did a real job on him. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I am busy, I'm going to the hospital to see somebody, and I have my suit on, and I cannot mess around with bloody stuff. Let the EMTs take care of it, I don't have time. Oh, I got to tell you this, can I stop here? I was coming down the highway, last week. Coming down the highway, it was pouring. I mean, it was coming, I thought I'd almost pull off the side of the road. But I kept going with the lights on, and I came on down. Right, it's come before you got to the mall. Get to the mall, and I see a couple that had been on a motorcycle, and they had their rain cap on. They looked like penguins. And I thought, it's raining. Sorry, it was warm rain, and I thought, boy, I should stop. And the moment I thought I was going to stop, here come a car backing up on the right hand side, backing up. To put them in where they can keep dry. Listen, you can say what you want to. That to me epitomizes somebody that has a conscience. Oh, I got things to do. I got to get going. I don't have time to mess with those penguins. But brethren, this is what the Lord is saying to us. Just be careful. That culture would say, I have to be there, and I can't bother helping somebody out. I can't get my car dirty. I get some blood in the seat or something. Oh, I got the EMTs. They got 911. They don't need me. All right, back to text. Preacher, you got off there, didn't you? I said, yeah, I did, but I just couldn't help myself there. Okay, well, back to the text. So they wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead, yes. In verse 31 of Matthew, or Luke 10, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed on the other side. And likewise the Levite. Now, these are religious people. You know that. These are church people. Oh, yeah. And educated. You like education? These are top educated people. And likewise the Levite, when he was at that place, came and he looked on him, and he passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. The Lord's speaking here. He said, who's my neighbor? Remember the context? There's a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Love your enemies. I'll tell you why they're enemies. Love your enemies and do good to them. Why not watch it? And so he saw him, he had compassion. In verse 34, and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and he said unto him, you take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The Lord Jesus asked the question, and to us too, who's my neighbor? Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. What's in that for me? What's in that for you? Well, let's see. You do know that the Jews and the Samaritans were buddy buddies. No, they were to cut each other's throats. Now, you can say what you want to about prejudice. The Jews were really prejudiced against the Samaritans. They called them half-breeds. That's what it said. That's a half-breed. We're blue bloods. That's a half-breed. A Heinz 57. Don't pay attention to him. But this Samaritan, even though he was despised, he showed God-likeness. You see, if you think only, you know, only certain people know the book, there's other people. You know, God saves them out of every race and tribe and kingdom, and he worked in this man's life, a Samaritan, one who was hated by the Jews, and he did all that. He said, now, which one is the real neighbor? You know, I think I can almost stop right there and say, you want to know something about loving your neighbor? Then you turn to Luke 10 and you study it out for yourself. It's pretty plain. You don't have to be educated to figure it. In fact, those educated guys, they're the opposite of what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. That's a beautiful passage to explain how to love your enemies. The best illustration I can think of at the moment. So love them and do good to them. And what's the third one? And that is to bless them. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back here once. Ready? I may not have that quite right here. Hold on here. Okay. There we are. Okay. Here we are. Now, first we love and then bless. Oh, okay. I missed that one. I would try to, but I want to tell you, to bless them. What does it mean to bless them? Well, that is actually saying to them, when they do you something wrong, to say to them, Mother, all I can say to you, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Well, that'll rattle his cage. What? All I can say, may the blessing of the Lord be on you. Get out of here. Don't talk to me about religious matters. But that's what it means. It has the idea that may the kindness, may the pleasantness and friendly words to them. Do good, it says next. There we go. That's the one. Do them good. Verse 44, Matthew 5. Love them, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them. You all heard a story about in the army, there was a fellow who knew the Lord, and he was taught to have prayer before he'd go to bed, you know, this is what we had taught, read the Bible. He'd get down on his knees. You say, well, you don't have to get down. I'm telling you the way it was. He got down on his knees to pray, and those fellows in the camp, they would throw their shoes at him when he was praying. Whap! Knock him in the head with a shoe or two. One guy was really nasty. You heard this before. I know you've been around. He really nasty to him. I mean, really brutal to him. Treat him awful. One night, he threw something at this Christian fellow praying, and it did damage on him. Yeah, it did damage. And so, lights out, you know. Next morning, when that rough, tough guy woke up to pick up his shoes, they were all polished. Yep. Yep. Getting the picture a little bit? Huh? Who polished them? You know who polished them. Lord, I don't understand how we can love our enemies. Well, he said, you know, if you have my spirit, if you have Christ's love in you, it might be that he can just somehow handle you and take you out of that old cultural drag that you're in and change you and make you a real Christian instead of just one, quote, end quote, a Christian. We got a lot of Christians. My mother had trouble speaking and saying Christian. She said, Christians. I said, Mom, it's Christian. She said, well, it's Christian. And I know another person, he can't say charismatic, he'll say chismatic. And don't laugh. You probably have some words too. But what I'm saying is, it's easy to say, you know, I'm a Christian. You seen anything like this? Where you love people that are unlovely? And not only that, you bless them and say, the Lord bless you and help you. Get out of here, curse it, says to curse them. And do good to them. Brethren, if any of you have arrived, you're just dismissed. do good to them and they hate you? Wow. And then what's the last one? Pray. Pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a little more. I have time yet. Let's go to Romans 15 and see whether we can understand that those four things. What four things? Well, I just read them to you. To love the enemy and do good to them, or bless them and do good and pray for them. For in Romans, the 15th chapter, and we have a word here that may kind of be a commentary on the matter. You know, brethren, it just seems that these areas that we really haven't arrived. I speak for myself. Look what verse 2 says in Romans 15. You think about your neighbor now, next door neighbor. You think about him now. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification, that is, to build him up. Am I what? Every one of us. Romans speaking to church at Rome, the Christians. Listen, Christians. Every one of us. Let every one of us please his neighbor. How? For his good. To edification. Help him to understand something. In the old days, if there was a death in my hometown area, home country area, the ladies didn't have to ask him. You didn't say, "Hey, would you? Could you help?" You know, they didn't even have anybody to ask him. They did baking and they took some food to those who were grieving. No, they don't need food. Yeah, when you're grieving, you need still to eat, because if you're grieving, you don't have time to prepare. And so the ladies in my community, they did good. And if there's a need, even the farmers, if the crop is getting it was getting pretty late, and they'd help one another. We helped one another. Say, well, that makes it great. No, I'm just telling you that there's things you can do. Despise not the day of little things. Well, that didn't amount to spit. No, wait a minute. Just because you did it in the name of Christ. And then we did study Colossians, didn't we? Colossians 4. And would it hurt to go back to Colossians and look at that again and see whether, you know, we could pick up there where we left off when we had went through the book of Colossians. Look at chapter 4 of Colossians, and especially verses 5 and 6 of Colossians 4. Walk, Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, that is, they're not saved. Redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Now I can reminisce, because I'm getting old. I can remember a man in this pulpit. He preached that verse. You did. Yeah, I did too. But this man preached the whole message on it. He did a marvelous job. It made an impression upon me. Who is that man? Well, his name was Donald Reiner. He preached it right here. He preached that those two verses. Oh, it's probably here somewhere in the tape. He did an excellent job explaining how we are to walk in wisdom towards those that are without, the Christians, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. And he was a gracious man, seasoned with salt. And he could just tip it enough to get your attention. And seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Oh, yes. Do good. There's a lot of carnality round about us. It just seems that if you... The media today is always violence. Yeah, it is. It's the big thing. Violence. Well, it's been that way a while, preacher. Yeah, I know, but it seems like it's worse. Violence. And so we can take on that same air. Don't you mess with me. Because you mess with me, you're in trouble. I'll get even with you, too. The Lord Jesus said, no, no. No. I say unto you, you have it wrong. He's saying to us, I want you to be godlike. Where do you get that? Right here. Notice verse 45. I want you to be godlike. How can I be godlike? Well, he said that you may be the children of your Father. Now, it's true. If you get your album out and you show me your family pictures, oh, I can see, looks like you. Hey, he's a spitting image of you. We say, just like his dad, just like mom. He said, I want you to be just like God, your Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, tell me about the Father in heaven. Well, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Oh, okay. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil. Sure it does. And on the good. And guess what? He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Boy, he's some God, isn't he? He said, you know, you say you're a Christian, a Christ one. Then use him as your model. Emulate your Savior and your Lord. And even that, God and the Father and the Spirit of God, it's God. It's God, we believe, a triune God. And he's saying, I want you to do this. Wow. Well, Lord, let me see some of your characteristics. It says you make the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. That's great. We'll get some crops. Need sunshine to make hay when the sun shines. God sends us sun. You're a benevolent God. Benevolent God. You know, I was just wiped out this morning when our brother talked about that woman who gave maybe more than a year's wage of perfume and anointed the Lord Jesus his feet. That's pretty costly. Really, that's benevolence. You want to talk about giving, folk. You think you're a good giver. You take an example of that lady. And then in humility, she didn't use a towel. She used her hair to dry his feet. Oh, man, where's that kind of attitude today? Wow, benevolent. Yes, kind. And that's since we're real close, let's go to Ephesians as I more or less close out tonight. Ephesians 4. I start with verse 32, Ephesians 4. And take the first verse of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 32. You want a model? Be ye kind. K-I-N-D. Boy, did you get that, preacher? Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Oh, brethren, don't we need to quit our carnal ways and to say, verse 32, what'd you say, Lord? He said, I want you to be kind one to another. I want you to have some tender heartedness towards each other. I want you to forgive one another. How? Even as God, my Father, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I have Christians, they're nasty, cantankerous, unkind. Don't have the common sense to be, and use etiquette. Oh, come on. Don't we need some education, dear Christians? Are we truly his? Are we Christ-like? Huh? You say, well, I don't know how am I going to do this? It all comes from God. You need to be born again. You need to have His Spirit. If you do not have the Spirit of God, in no way can you pay attention to this. If Christ's Spirit is not in you, you say, I laugh at that message. That stupidity. And I don't want to pay attention to that. And there are Christians, and I wonder if they really are Christians, nasties, unkind, hard-hearted, and leadership, like preachers, like elders, deacons. You think they should know better. What am I saying? You say, I don't have it. I have not arrived. I want to say this to you. If you're going to have it, it's going to be the Lord who will empower you. You're not going to, because you're intellectually, I can do that. No, you can't do it intellectually. You need to have been born from above. You need to have the Spirit of God. And you had to be susceptible. And you need to be obedient and put away our rebellion. I didn't even get to this yet. Our enemy, I want to talk about the enemies. But you did sing about them tonight. You sang these psalms. Maybe you would like to sing with this 47th psalm. As my wife says, why don't you sing the psalms? We do. Well, you don't tell us. I'm telling you tonight, here are these psalms. Let's go to the 47th Psalm 5. It's number 47.
My King, my God.
Father, we ask that again that you would help us to get some grasp on this matter as Christians. And I especially ask for those tonight who say they love you, and we still have a lot of the old carnal nature, the old natural, the fallen man. We pray you to help us. Help us that we might so walk that we show Jesus Christ in our lives. And then, our Father, we pray for those of us who dislike us. And we pray that you would work in their lives. And we not only pray, but we're asking our Father that you might give us agape love that you have for us sinners. And that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that we might bless them instead of cursing them. And that we would wish them your very best. We ask also that if you give opportunity, that we may do good to them. And that, Father, as we even pray now, we pray for them. So bless our time together. And even as we have this time of fellowship afterwards, we pray that the refreshments will be a blessing, and so our fellowship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pensdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pensdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.